Who brought a Bible to church? If you know me, you should know this by now. We haven't had church unless the Word of God has been opened and the message has been proclaimed. And so if you have your Bibles, open with me to two places, Psalm 127 and Exodus 26. Put your finger in Exodus 26 and we're going to start in Psalm 127. I count myself blessed beyond measure to do that which I've been called to do since I was 15, preach the Word of God. And a blessing for me to do that this morning. When I was in high school, my friends and I, where is it? Did I leave it down there? Maybe under the chair. Yeah. When I was in high school, my friends and I, not yet. Oh, one second. We love playing cards. Anybody like playing cards? We'd get together and we'd play euchre Sunday afternoon. We'd go to one of the parents' houses and eat their cooking and then hang around and play euchre, crazy eights. We'd do it in the cafeteria, any opportunity we could get. And what happened to me was I became a fan of shuffling cards. So I would walk around the house when I was a teenager, shuffle cards. 10 minutes before dinner, I'm going to shuffle some cards. 5 minutes before I need to leave for work at Arby's on Lundy's Lane, shuffle some cards. Got no plans tonight because I didn't make any plans. What would I do, church? Shuffle cards. My life wasn't that sad, okay? I'm exaggerating a little bit. But I really enjoyed shuffling cards. I know you all wanted a demonstration, and so here we go. I'm just going to shuffle some cards for you this morning. To any of you who grew up in a home where church and cards didn't coexist because there was something especially demonic about cards, get over it, and we'll pray for you after service this morning. For those of you waiting for something really impressive, don't hold your breath. I didn't say I was good at shuffling cards, but this is what I did. I'd walk around and I'd shuffle cards, and I'd drop some too. Christine, if you want to come up, went over here. And so going back to thinking about cards, I was thinking a couple weeks ago about how cards are kind of like the church. Each member within the church you could see as a card, and from one side they all look similar shape, similar size, similar weight, but when you turn around and look at the other side, every card is unique. It's one of a kind. You could see the cards as individuals. You could see the cards as the ministries that we have in the church, worship and prayer and small groups and recovery ministry and outreach ministry. You could think that the local church is kind of like a deck of cards. Come on, right up out here. But something happened in March of 2020. I think you all remember what it was. It is that of which we do not speak. The beginning of COVID lockdowns. And here's what I felt happened to the church. Ready? So going back a couple years, this is what I felt like happened to the local church. Where'd all my cards go? It felt like we've been playing a giant game of 52 card pickup for the last 2 years. And maybe you can relate. Maybe you would say that your life has felt a little bit like 52 card pickup over the last couple years. And now nothing was normal and you were working from home, doing Zoom calls, you were doing church in your pajamas, which used to just be plain inappropriate, but now it was okay because you're online, right? So we've been in a season of rebuilding. Rebuilding the local church, rebuilding our lives, rebuilding this worship center. Are you there with me in the 127th Psalm? 127th Psalm, verse 1 says this, "Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen stay awake in vain." So we can do all that we want to do in our flesh. We can work hard and work smart and work together and collaborate, and we can work long hours and work long days. But unless Jesus Christ is at the center of what we are rebuilding, I'm telling you, we are wasting our time. Look at verse 2. "It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives his beloved sleep. How many of you, don't raise your hands, how many of you know what it's like to eat a steady diet of anxious toil bread? It is in vain, the psalm says, for you to rise up early, stay up late, worry, 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 stress, stress, stress. We'd be better off to go get some sleep and take a good, holy, Pentecostal nap and trust in Jesus while the rebuilding is taking place. There's been a tremendous amount of work, as we've talked about, that went into the rebuilding of this place today. And yet, if all of that work was done in the flesh, it would all be, ladies and gentlemen, it would all be for nothing. If all we have is a nice room that we get together in and hang out in and chit-chat in and shoot the breeze with, I'm telling you, that's not the kingdom of God growing. Everything that was done in this room was done with a specific purpose. You might sit here today and look around at the room and look around at the walls and the carpet and the stage, and some of you might ask the question, does any of this really matter? Like, isn't this just a room? Does it really matter? If you have your finger there in Exodus 26, I want to show you something. Here's the Israelites, okay? They're free from Egypt, free from Pharaoh, on their way to the promised land, and the Lord has them build a tabernacle. So while they're on a journey to the promised land, God has them build a tabernacle. This isn't Solomon's temple. This is a portable place of worship that they need to set up as they go. And so I want to read a few verses here from Exodus 26, just to paint you a picture. Exodus 26, verse 1 says, "Moreover, you shall make the tabernacle with 10 curtains of fine twisted linen, and blue and purple and scarlet yarns. You shall make them with cherubim skillfully worked into them. The length of each curtain shall be 28 cubits, and the breadth of each curtain 4 cubits, and the curtain shall be the same size. 5 curtains shall be coupled to one another, and the other 5 curtains shall be coupled to one another. You shall make loops of blue on the edge of the outermost curtain in the first set. Likewise, you shall make loops on the edge of the outermost curtain in the second set. 50 loops you shall make on the one curtain, and 50 loops you shall make on the edge of the curtain that is in the second set. The loops shall be opposite to one another. And you shall make 50 clasps of gold," praise the Lord for gold, "and couple the curtains," that was a joke, "one to the other with the clasp, so that the tabernacle may be a single whole. You shall also make the curtains of goat's hair for a tent over the tabernacle. 11 curtains shall you make." Jump down with me to verse 30. "Then you shall erect the tabernacle according to the plan for that you were shown on the mountain. You shall make a veil of blue and of purple and scarlet yarn and fine twisted linen. It shall be made with cherubim skillfully worked into it. And you shall hang it on 4 pillars of acacia, overlaid with gold, with hooks of gold on 4 bases of silver. Then you shall hang the veil from the clasps and bring the ark of the testimony there within the veil. And the veil shall separate for you the holy place from the most holy. And you shall put the mercy seat on the ark of the testimony in the most holy place. And you shall set the table outside the veil and the lampstand on the south side of the tabernacle opposite to the table. And you shall put the table on the north side." How many of you are getting the picture for this? How many of you are grateful for diagrams and pictures? Alan, aren't you glad we didn't have written instructions for the building of the stage? Verse 36, "You shall make a screen," so this was for Old Testament projectors, "you shall make a screen for the entrance of the tent of purple and blue and scarlet yarn and fine twisted linen embroidered with needlework, and you shall erect for the screen 5 pillars of acacia and overlay them with gold. Their hooks shall be of gold, and you shall cast 5 bases of bronze for them." Okay, so this is for a port. We just read, like, I think 14 verses out of 37. And it goes on for about 4 more chapters about how to build the table for the lampstand and how to dress your priests and all these details that went into a portable place of worship. Now, if you're anything like me, you're reading a text like this and you're thinking, God, this could have been a whole lot simpler. Canadian Tire's got a $99 tent we could go get. And can't we just use that as the place where we make sacrifices and worship you? Why all the detail? Why does all of it matter? You look in a room like this and you say, why does this matter? Why does the tabernacle matter? Well, the presence of God was in that place. That's where the presence of God was there so that the atonement for people's sin could come. And yet surely still God could have done it simpler. Here's what he wanted. God wanted a framed structure made of acacia wood. He wanted curtains of fine twisted linen with blue and purple and scarlet yarn. He wanted golden hooks and silver and bronze bases. And you know what? He wanted it done right. Skillfully. Get good people involved in the building of this place. Why? Because God has expensive taste. You can use that next time you're shopping with the Mr. or the Mrs. Why do you always want the expensive stuff? I'm made in my Father's image. But in all seriousness, God has expensive taste because things that are expensive are intrinsically understood to be valuable. And when things are valuable, don't you treat them better? Every element of the tabernacle had a purpose. Every decision that was made in this worship center had a purpose. We decided to black out the stage and the walls and everything up here. Why? So that you wouldn't be looking at artwork and what color this is and what that is, that your presence would be on the words that are sung and the prayers that are prayed and the word that is preached in the presence of God. We wanted to eliminate distractions. We wanted light wall colors all along the sides here so that this was a place of joy and hope and you came into this place. We removed the baptismal tank that was buried so deep that the only part of a person's body that you ever saw get baptized was their head. And we've got a nice portable baptismal that we're going to set up right up front here so that everybody can be a part and see as we celebrate people getting into the waters of baptism. We tore down the back wall. We covered over the staircase back here so that the stage could be large and yet we could have more space for people to sit and come and stand and worship. There's so many reasons why the Lord gave such specific instructions for the building of the tabernacle in Exodus, but I'm going to make things real simple. At the risk of being super simplistic, at the risk of losing my recently acquired credentials, Pastor Scott, can I make a real simple theological application from Exodus 26? Why all the details? Because God cares about the details. Do you care about the details of your house? Where you put your furniture, and where you put the lampstand, and where you put that thing on the counter in the kitchen. You care about your house, and guess what? God cares about his house. Psalm 122 has been a verse that's been burning in my heart as of late. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." Not I was bored. Not I was irritated. Not I was indifferent. No, I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord. Let's come into this place and worship King Jesus." I want to say this to us today, church. God cares about this house. He cares about this room. He cares about that phone call. He cares about the walls. He cares about the carpet. You say, God cares about carpet? Yes, he does. God cares about the details of his house. And I get it. The church is not the building, it's the people. Amen? Church is not the building, it's the people. I get that. But let me say this to you, the real church, I'm talking to you, the church of Jesus Christ. This place still matters. This place still matters. Let me give you a parallel. Would we all agree that family is not about the home that you live in, but the people who live inside it? We have a hearty amen on that. Family is not about the home, it's not about the kitchen renovation, it's not about the furniture, it's about the people. And yet, would any of you let that theological truth lead you to sign up for homelessness? I don't need that. We've got each other. We can just sell the house and be homeless. No, why? Because your house still matters, and so does this house. This place still matters. Since 1964, there have been people gathering together in this place to worship King Jesus. To call upon his name and experience salvation and healing and deliverance and water baptism and spirit baptism and answered prayer and communion and comfort and encouragement. And before this building, this church body has been gathering since 1935. That's 87 years of worshiping King Jesus in Niagara. And I believe with all my heart that every single person in this room should get excited about us continuing to gather in this place and worship King Jesus until he comes back. I believe the Lord is raising up in this moment in history a people who have a love for the house of God. Can I ask you a question this morning? You have to answer it the right way because you're here. Do you love the local church? I believe the Lord is stirring up in the people of God right now a love for the local church, not for the buildings, not for the programs, but for the people and what the people can do when we get on mission with Him. I believe in this place, people are going to receive the call to ministry. As we sing and worship and as the Word of God is proclaimed, I believe that people sitting in the seats that you're sitting in right now are going to feel the call to ministry, not just to be a pastor or a preacher, but an evangelist and an apostle, an evangelist, a teacher, a pastor. I believe people are going to be called into healthcare and politics, education and sales, administration and business. I believe in this very place, people are going to receive the instruction of righteousness, conviction, correction, like 2 Timothy 3:16 says. And in this place, I believe we will receive the Spirit of God moving in our midst. Why? Because this place matters. But do you know what matters more than this place? You. The best furnishing final touches of this place is you. Do you know that an empty room doesn't glorify God? It is the people who gather in that place who worship and glorify God. Acts 7:48, yet the Most High does not dwell in houses made by hands. Where does the Most High dwell? Come on, church. Where does He dwell? In us. We don't live under an Old Testament system anymore. You say, Pastor Tim, why are we in Exodus? We don't got the tab. We don't have the Ark of the Covenant. We don't have to go back there. And hey, I say, praise the Lord for that. Do you know what the priests had to wear? Thanks, but no thanks. The board would have been fitting me for my breastplate this morning if we go back to that. You know what's more important than the rebuilding of a room is the rebuilding of your heart and the rebuilding of your marriage and the rebuilding of your family. The most important part of all of this is you. I want you to help me out here. Can some of you see these cards up front here? Right now, wherever you are, it's probably going to be just the front folks here. If you can grab a card and come on up right here, come stand up here. Find a card. If you have a card, just grab it and come stand up front here. And come on, don't be shy. If service goes long, it's your fault now. Find a card. And Luke, find a card, bring it up front, and just stay standing up at the front here if you have a card. If you have a lot of cards, that's fine. If not, we should have about 52 of them. Have a card and turn around and face me once you're up at the front here. If you got a card, stand here, face me. Yeah. All of you are a picture of all of you. So I just want you to imagine you're all up here this morning. And I believe that the Lord is helping us pick up 52 cards since COVID-19. Amen? And rebuild the church that He wants to build. And I believe that there's a calling on each and every one of you. I was praying over the people who'd pick up cards today. That's not weird superstition. I believe that the Lord wanted to speak to some hearts who were going to come forward just because they reached and grabbed a card. And so I want to pray over not just you, but all of you this morning. Church, would you stand to your feet? I believe that the Lord wants to bless you as He rebuilds His church. So let's pray together. God in heaven, we worship You for Your faithfulness, for all that You've done. And God, we give You glory over everything that You have done in our lives. And Lord, over these past few years, God, we are not grateful for the challenges, but we rejoice in the midst of them. We're not grateful for any bad news, but Lord, we praise You in the midst of bad news. We're not thankful when tragedy strikes and things get hard, but we worship You when it does. And so, Lord, today we worship You and praise You for Your faithfulness. And I thank You, God, that You are helping us pick up all the pieces and everything in every area of our life that has felt scattered and stepped on and bruised and cut and wounded. Lord, I believe that You are going to do a healing in each and every one of us as we take steps of faith to serve King Jesus. Lord, I pray a blessing today over our church family. Lord, we've prayed over the building. They've prayed over me. Today, I pray over them. Lord, may Your richest blessings rest upon the people of God who call this place home and those who are here this morning who have other local churches who call that place home. I pray that Your blessing would rest upon them. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, And in the name of the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen and amen. Amen. You can head on back there. And so God bless you. Have a wonderful day, and we'll see you again soon.